Nearly 60 people have been killed in a series of bomb attacks across Iraq as the country prepares for Wednesday's general elections. The deadliest incident occurred in the Kurdish-populated town of Khan Aqin. 30 people were killed after a suicide bombing targeted a political gathering. Police at the rally had gathered to people at the rally rather had gathered to watch television footage of Iraqi President Jalal Talabani casting his ballot in Germany. At least 50 people were also injured in the bombing. Elsewhere, 27 members of the Iraqi security forces were killed in a series of bomb attacks across the country. The deadly attacks mostly targeted polling stations as soldiers and police officers were casting their ballots 2 days ahead of the national election. More than 9,000 candidates are running for the 328 seats in the Council of Representatives. The lawmakers will then choose the Iraqi president and prime minister. Let's speak to our correspondent, Serena Shim, who joins us now from Baghdad. Now, Serena, it was a day marred by violence. How are the preparations going as far as the elections go on Wednesday?
Right. Well, on my way just to the studio now, I saw at least 30 security apparatuses. If it wasn't the police, it was the army. So they've been on high alert. They were on high alert all day today as the voting was actually going through. But the problem is that these ISIL members or these Al-Qaeda members are being very sneaky about it. Just about in the Kurdish area, highly Kurdish populated area where the suicide bomber essentially came in, and what the police say is that he snuck into the crowd. So as they were waiting for Jalal Talabani, the Iraqi president, to cast his vote while he was in Berlin, he snuck into the crowd and then he blew himself up, causing the deadliest attack that there was today. When we talked to other people and when we saw the news about what happened in different areas throughout the country today, the main tactic basically that was used by Al-Qaeda today was them wearing police and army uniforms. So they're basically blindsiding the public or the security apparatuses when they come in with moves that they're basically not prepared for, unconventional type of warfare. And today it was basically anybody's game. A lot of times we've seen deadly attacks across Iraq, and you see them all throughout Iraq. Sometimes, and more so than not, you see that Shia areas are targeted in particular. Today we saw Sunni areas, we saw Shia areas, we saw Kurdish areas. So it was basically all over the map, trying to undermine the elections that are supposed to be scheduled on Wednesday. Now, the thing that's really peculiar and even somewhat disturbing, you get kind of mixed feelings about it. We were at the polling station today, and the Iraqi army was there, and despite the bomb attacks and despite all of their colleagues that died today, they were there and they were saying poems. And one of the things that one of the Iraqi generals was saying was that, "I'm from Fallujah, that's a Sunni area. I'm from Karadi, I'm from Mansour, I'm from everywhere in Iraq, and that I joined the army to be a patriot and to serve my country, not because of any sectarian affiliation." And that's the reoccurring theme that you hear throughout the country. Even today, the reason that the security apparatus went to the polls not on the same time as the civilians is so that they could free up 1 million army officers as well as police officers to be able to protect the civilian population. So they really, you could even sense it today that they meant what they were saying and that they were there and that they felt patriotic towards their country. And a lot of them said that there's no sectarian fighting going on here in Iraq. We're fighting a war on terror. And that was very, very evident today when we saw these bomb blasts basically taking place in all different sectarian and all different sects throughout the country. And even in Mosul, I wanted to bring up a point about three journalists were covering the story as well, and a bomb attacked their car. They were able to escape with just some injuries, but it's basically fair game for everybody throughout the country. And it's been said even before the elections, we had saw so many bomb attacks, and those were attempts to undermine the elections. And now that the elections are basically, you know, taking way, today was security and on Wednesday with the civilian population, it definitely seems like there has been a step up in the violence, and people were ready for that. People were saying as the elections draw closer, day by day, we are seeing the violence increase. And I think today, even of how bloody it was with the attacks on the Kurds, you know, being the deadliest attack with, you know, the at least 30 people dying, even today they basically expected it. And when you still ask the people, are you going to take to the polls, they still say yes, and that they hope for change and they hope for a brighter future for them and their children. And there's 22 million people registered to vote. So they're not really scared. They want to exercise their democratic right, you know, regardless of what the cost may be.
Right now, of course, there is no question regarding the fervor with which the Iraqi people will be coming out to cast their ballots and participate in their country's future. However, Serena, it seems that, as you just played out, that terrorism and security will be an issue on the minds of the Iraqi voters when they're casting their ballots. How has the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki fared in the opinion of the Iraqis on the streets there?
Well, that's the thing, because it was said since the beginning of when the violence started to happen in late December that this was all tactics by al-Qaeda to undermine the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. And that's what Nouri al-Maliki said himself. He said that there's outside forces, and that this is the outside forces are external players are trying to take a role in Iraqi politics by trying to basically take over the country the same way that they're doing in Syria. And he pinpointed Saudi Arabia. And you do see a lot of the same rhetoric on the street when you're talking to people. They realize that external players are playing a role when it comes to the security situation, trying to undermine the government. So they want to basically be able to take, not let anybody sway their vote or not be blindsided, but they do hope that they're going to be able to see more security in the future. And you know, it's, you know, when you ask the question of whether or not that they're going, there's some people who say that the prime minister wasn't able to secure the security situation, and they do believe it. They believe that there could come somebody else that would be able to handle the situation a little bit better. But on the same side of the spectrum, they just say that they want somebody to be in charge to be able to get more logistic support, more technical support, more intelligence support. That's what we hear a lot, is the whole intelligence card, because that way they could maybe know where the bombs and where things are going to be, and even at the checkpoints. That's another key figure. And when we talk to some people, they say that in the previous government, when Nouri al-Maliki was running things, there was the opposition had always tried to block him when he tried to go forward and able to really go through with security in the country. And this time they hope that there's a majority, and that that if he does win, he is able to secure it. And if he doesn't, that whoever comes to the polls is able to really calm the situation down, because it has been too long that they've been living in fear.
Right. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We will keep a close eye on the situation there in Iraq. Our correspondent, Serena Shim, there reporting from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. Serena, thanks very much indeed.